them have dominion.
The kingdom of people, the advancement of the people, that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenly.
The secret of establishing a church. The prodigal son's father threw a party when the son that was lost came back home. The man that had 100 sheep and lost one threw a party when he found that one. Jesus told about 3 different parables relating to this. Another time it was a woman that lost a coin. She also threw a party. It's something to throw a party for. One time I was asking God the value of the party and the value of the coin, which one was more? But they threw a party, called their friends to celebrate because the lost coin was found. The other time the lost sheep was found. And the other time the lost son was found. If one person derails one church, the whole church needs to, if it means declaring a fast. Because I don't know any family here now that you get home in the evening and one of your son or your daughter did not return back from school or did not return back home. And you sleep that night. So you already know how to do it as parents. Will you sleep? If you call where you think they are or go there to visit the school to find the child and at the end of the day you don't find the child, the next thing you call security. Why are you not calling security when somebody is missing from church? Why are you not taking it serious? Why is it not a big issue? Satan should not be able to walk into God's hand and take somebody. We can go to the enemy's camp and do it because we can overpower that strong man. But can he overpower the stronger man? So how come he's able to do it? It's the carelessness of the saints. Am I my brother's keeper? Is that spirit? Because the mother of all sin is selfishness, self-centeredness. And the cure for all sin is love. Is love. Is love. The cure for selfishness and self-centeredness is love. Love is the other person minded. Is the spirit of, am I my brother's keeper? But truly we are. We are. We are a brother's keeper. We are a brother's keeper. A believer is beyond human destruction in the context of witchcraft and all of that. The reason is very simple. If the person is truly a Christian, the person has a seal on his life called the Holy Spirit. Once you are saved, you are sealed. And then it becomes more deadly when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, you are beyond the realm where you can be reached by charm, by incantation, by divination, or by witchcraft. What Jesus said they can do to a believer is that they can kill the body. He didn't mean using witchcraft to do it. He means using physical weapon to do that. That's the only thing he said. So all those Christians that were persecuted and were killed, you never heard that anyone died of witchcraft. Even when Rome had all those gods. Highest, you hear that they beheaded or they did that, they burned this one on fire. That's all. He said they can reach the body, but where your soul is beyond their reach. But I found out that the only people that can reach the soul and the spirit of a believer are the same people that are hiding in the same place with them. It's like bank vault. the beauty so the armed robbers can't steal it. If the bank manager wants to steal the money, he can steal it because he's the one that has access inside. So he said, Cain, where is thy brother? And God said, you can't tell me, I don't know. You can't. It becomes more dangerous if you're a pastor because our own position is the position to give account over other people's souls. Now, the pastor's position is like the father and mother in the house. You can't say, I don't know where the kids are. God will say, what are you doing sleeping? How can you go to bed when the child did not return back to school? The one you sent to go and buy something at the shop has not come back till night. And you are relaxing to watch TV. Are you mad? What kind of parent are you? The pastor's judgment that decides whether he's crowned or not is about people's souls. Is give account of people. Give account of people. You know that is simple. That's the same thing with parents. But then for every believer, a believer, you're going to give account of your brothers and sisters. Now, the law of love uses one word when it comes to human beings. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. But when it came to men, he didn't say, love your fellow men. He didn't say that. Then he didn't say, love people as yourself. He didn't say that. It's a love what? Your neighbor. 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 The particular poor man that sent the rich man to hell was the one in his gate, not the one in your gate. Now, until you have taken care of your neighbor, it's not your business to bother about my neighbor. Now, what God was establishing there is simple. That charity begins where? Simple. You see the Great Commission. Great Commission is one of the greatest demonstrations of love. To go and save the world. Jesus said, save which world? He said, beginning where? At Jerusalem. You have not reached your own people around you. You want to go and save Afghanistan. Stop deceiving yourself. That's why the first commandment under the second commandment, because there are only two commandments, it's all about love. It's love the Lord and love your fellow men. And the first commandment under the second one is about parents, life source. What the first commandment under the first one is about God, life creator. He's the creator, he's the one that created you, that gave you life, he's your source and sustainer. You don't put any other thing before him. When he came to the nature, he talks about your life source. It didn't fall from the sky. Honoring your parents is more important than doing your social work. If you like, deceive yourself. When you finish, you find out that the inheritance misses you. But you have run around doing so many things. And you have missed the inheritance. You know that Judas was casting out the devil. He was doing all those things with the rest. Where was he? Where was he? The one that they gave the leadership, they said, do you love me more than this? You love me more than this. When we are through with that, then the second thing is feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. I found that everything about all other relations are in the family. That's how to treat your sister. It's finding what you're going to learn how to treat the opposite sex in the church. How to treat your father is finding how you're going to learn how to treat your pastor. Then, the relationship between this family and the next family is actually the relationship between Nigeria and Cameroon. The relationship between this father and that father is the relationship between two presidents. It's the same thing about learning how ministry and another ministry relates. Don't you see that all those problems are found everywhere? Nations are quarreling. Nations will rise against nations. Is that not how we have war? What do you call war started when you see your son and his brother fighting? That's war. That's war. That's war. I just established the five practical ways to love your neighbor, because the scripture listed that. Scripture listed it. Those are the things we learn. We learn how to establish a church. Learn how to establish a church. Beginning with the marriage covenant. What is called church covenant. Beginning with it. They have induction. Then they have confirmation. Those are initiation ceremony. You don't join. It's not a joint thing. Not a visit. No. We have to now learn how to establish. How to establish. So that work grows and becomes very strong. So that every other effort they are making at this stage, we just be filling the water. But if the water is leaking as it's entering, then what is that? You're going to have endless pursuit of church growth. Endless pursuit of church growth. Meanwhile, all the people have passed, but they are not there. And these are the reason for small groups. So that the family system can be maintained. Just like we are one Nigeria, but we have not destroyed the different families. Because when we say the grace now, everybody returns to their family. That's where you are looked after. Where if you had a little fever yesterday, that's where you are looked after. Where the children are taken care of, it's at home. It's when it's beyond family that you make it a public issue. Are you ready to build something big? The plan of God, which is called the kingdom. He calls this thing a holy nation. What he's building is a country, a nation. If we are ready to do it, then we have to understand the plan. I was teaching my kids, I said, there are only two professions you can take. Because there are only two professions for a believer. It's king and priest. So either you're going into full-time ministry, or you are going to rule society, to conquer. If it's business, what you take it and conquer it. You are not going to be a slave to anybody in this life. The only slaving you need to do is apprenticeship, to study, to learn, and master what you need to master. You're not going to go all this jumping up and down saying you're looking for a job. That's nonsense. It's not for believers, it's for the unbelievers. The only two calling, the only two vocation, the only two profession for a Christian is king and priest. Only two profession for a Christian. So obviously, there are some set of knowledge that you need to pioneer. And there's a new set of knowledge you need when you want to establish. What helps you to pioneer does not produce establishment. It doesn't. That's why those of us who were single before, who were wise enough to find the right wife, we know that what it takes to get a husband is different from what it takes to keep one. Or what it takes to get a wife is different from what it takes to raise a family. A little trip to Mr. Biggs and all those raps to confuse a woman, to sustain a marriage, you can't just sustain it on raps. The rap must have integrity in it. Before then, you can say anything. Or she can, you know, if your mouth is sweet enough, it's enough to convince many ladies. But after she marries you, she lives with you. You can't keep telling her, "Baby, I'm going to take you to U.S. I'm going to make you my." You can't. You better start saying what is serious, because she is there to see it. Because when a woman finally loses her faith, the worst thing is to live with a woman that lost every faith. No, your talk. A nagging wife and a cynical wife are twin sisters. I don't know which one is worse. Glory be to the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. We're going to pray, you know, Lord, open to us the understanding of your principles for establishing a church. And not just a church, a family. The beauty of Zion is that when Zion visits any territory, it changes it. It will take the people out of that place and elevate them. It said the ark came to the house of Obed-Edom for only 3 months. 3 months only. We are running families with our ark. But the whole thing is that where we are going, I don't know if you have read the Bible, the end of the book. Where we are going is that where we are going to end, it showed the picture. It said, and I looked and there was no temple there. So all these things you are doing will not be there. No temple there. And they asked, where is the temple? He said, for the Lord God himself is the temple in the midst of the people. For the tabernacle of God is with what? With men. That's the blueprint of the kingdom. Church is not a Sunday service. The real church is what goes on 6 days in a week in the houses of the people. If you want to disciple the city of Lagos, it's not to bring them to church. It's to bring them to your house. Gather your neighbors that you love, that you care about, to your house. You and your house. You and your house. That is the plan of redemption. That's the plan of redemption. You and your house. You and your house. All the families in the church are going to become God's center for revival. Indeed shall all the families be what? Each family will become the tool for reaching others. That's just the program. Each father has to become a pastor. Originally, God did not plan that any child will be attending a church. He just planned that every child will attend a family. And that by placing a child in a family, the child will have all the pastoring that he needs. We failed here, we have failed God. Because you cannot expect an evangelist to save your children. Neither do you expect another bunker to come and save your neighborhood. That's what we're going to do. And then when we, the leaders, start doing it, then we teach the brethren, which is the spiritual, and they pick it up. Then that's how you disciple Lagos. You're not going to disciple Lagos in any building. Or you're expecting people to come somewhere, whatever. You're wasting your time. They will come, but how much building will you build for 20 million people? That's how to disciple. So, go back and become to your wife and children what the Heavenly Father is to us. Because the family is just an earthly picture of heaven. The fatherhood of God is the origin of the fatherhood of man. You see? The relationship between the Trinity is the origin of the relationship between the husband and the wife. And out of that comes the offspring. And all the three dimensions of the family, the father, the mother, the children, can be returned back to one thing. I learned the reason people come together in marriage and you say the two shall become one is because they were one from day one. He made one entity, called it Adam, but the scripture said inside that body were two personalities. He made them male and female, created them, and called a name Adam in the day they were created. But look, you see one thing. But when God looks, he sees everything inside. So one day he separated, he pulled out the she out of the. He pulled out Eve. That's the name she was later called. But it was actually an Adam that God pulled out. He called their name Adam. scripture said, Genesis chapter 1, the name Adam. So Adam is his name and Adam is her name. So he pulled out one and made her a female. And then he now brought her back to the man and said, the two shall become one. So you see, there are two Pastor Davids. There's one sitting at the back, there's one in the front. And simple law of marriage is treat the one at the back the way you treat the one at the front. And treat the one at the front the way you treat the one at the back. That's the simple law. Just do it, you have mastered marriage. Treat your wife like your own body. Treat your husband like your own body. For like a man cherisheth and nourisheth his body, so a man should do to his wife. And that's what the Lord is doing to the church. It's one. We are counting head, one, body, two. No, it's just one. It's just one. And then out of that, come. So where was David before he became a man and a boy that is attending school? Where was he before? We'll call it fruit of the womb. Fruit of the body. So out of that union comes the children. So where were they before? In the parents. That's why he said, the sins of the father will affect their children to the third and fourth generation. Because it's not just one generation that you are carrying. They're all in there. Four generations. That's why he said when the man blessed Abraham, Melchizedek, that the fourth generation of his descendant, Levi, the blessing traveled to Isaac, traveled to Jacob, and hit Levi. The fourth generation was blessed inside his body. Yeah. So, the idea of covenant is to get the people to go back to that oneness in the way they live their lives. Because the same tree for where I put mango fruit one, I went back there, pulled mango fruit two. Now, I put it in my basket. I counted. I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are not seven. There are one. I pulled them out from one mango. You call them brothers and sisters. But there are one. It's the same mango. Allos Paracletos. The Holy Ghost and Jesus all came out of the Father. That the fruit of the Godhead or the fruit of deity. Where was Jesus before he became the Son of God? He was God. He was inside the Father. Where was the Holy Ghost before he was breathed on you? He was inside the Father. It was in his nostrils. It was in his being. The Holy Ghost is actually the Spirit of the Father. When God gave us the Holy Ghost, he's actually sharing his life with us. His essence with us. He gave us what should not be given to humans. But he gave it to us because we are his children. We should share the same life. It also means that we and him are also one. We came from one soul. He that is joined to a harlot becomes one flesh with him. He that is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So you see, if you are Christ, you and this guy and this man, one. Scripture talks about one body, one spirit, one everything. How come Cain killed Abel if this is true? If this is true, how come Cain killed Abel? And where did he learn the art of murder? Where did he learn it? Genesis chapter 5, I want to read this. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called their name Adam. One translation says, called their name mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years. And begot a son in his own likeness after his own image and named him Seth. That's where mother came from. That verse is the origin of mother. Verse 4 is the origin of mother. After Adam has lived 130 years, begat a son in his own likeness and in his own image. Okay, God made him originally, God made him in God's image and likeness. But after 130 years, Adam got his own son in his own image and likeness. He should have got that boy in the image of God and in the likeness of God, which should have been his own image and likeness. But now, sin, the fall of man, introduced the satanic nature. And satanic nature is one simple thing, selfishness. It's just the opposite of love. The divine nature is love. So if anybody asks you, what does the divine nature look like? Love. Then what does the nature of Satan look like? Selfishness. So Adam begat Seth. He begat a selfish being. Have you noticed that children are born with it? Leave them here now, playing with toys. They will go and grab the other man's toy. You don't need revelation. You don't need to teach them anything. They don't need school. They don't need temptation. Every man is born selfish, except Jesus Christ. I wish I can interview Mary to ask her what were the characteristics of that baby when he was growing up. You probably see the first baby that will give toy to us. The first baby that will go and help other baby that is wounded. The first baby that will not be manipulating the parents, crying, throwing tantrum. The first baby that will say, "Mommy, sorry, sorry, oh sorry." That's the kind of baby Adam should have given birth to. He gave birth to the type you are giving birth to. Selfish kids. Now, here is the issue. From the day a baby is born, God gives the parents a job to cut off that Adamic thing, that self-centered thing, that self. You just have a few years to pamper that flesh. Maybe a year or two to pamper. Then the process should start. That's how you disciple a child. That's the training of a child. You have not succeeded. I don't care what you buy for your children until you cut off the foreskin of their heart. Abraham was told to circumcise them on the eighth day. Don't let them become adults. It will be too late. Circumcise them. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is grown, he will not depart from it. Now, that the discipleship of children is just the cutting off of the foreskin of the heart. What is that? Satan's selfishness. You are going to see the whole project clear as he starts relating with his brothers and sisters. If that child is alone, watch. Soon now he will start doing it to adults. Then watch if the other kids are around. You will see the problem. Guess what many mothers will do? They will go and fight other people's children. They go and fight other women in defense of mother. It's mother that are training, or they are protecting a murderer. They are protecting mother. It's selfishness that killed Abel. You know what love would do? Oh, Father, thank you. At least we offer two sacrifices. One, go to heaven. Thank God we are not empty handed. You have accepted my brother's own. Next time I'm going to sit down with him and learn how he did this thing. And next time it will be my turn. I'm happy for you, my brother. God, I'm so glad. It would have been terrible if two of us failed. I invested 1 million. You invested 500,000. Now you made profit. Your business has moved to 50 million. I'm very glad for you because you need to show me the way. If two of us crash, who will help the other? But selfishness says, it's not me that it happened to. If it's not me, let nobody get it. Not like those people who say, if I won't marry you, nobody will. Then you destroy the girl. Right? Other people to pour acid on her. Or whatever. That's Satan. I will exalt my throne. I will. Not, you know, let me be honest with you. Immediately after the rebellion of Satan, if they bring him and bring Michael, you won't see any difference. If they actually talk, you probably Satan will be more believable. If you actually to look at them, he is even is going to be more angelic in the look. Till tomorrow, Satan commands followership because people see can't understand what is wrong. If you meet Mr. Satan, you are probably going to like him. He's very likable. He's very charming. Forget all these horns you are drawing. That's not how what Satan looks like. He's finer than Michael. He's finer than Gabriel. He's also wiser than those guys. He sings better than them. If you meet the devil in church, you will fall in love with his music ministry. If you meet him on the pulpit, you will love his preaching. The guy is a good preacher. The guy is a good music minister. He's actually a minstrel. He's better than David. And there are some of them preaching. Demons. Wearing suit. What's the demon angel? Self. Self. What? Self. Nothing else. Self. Nothing else. Uncircumcised people. Self. Nothing else. So, he sing all that thing. When he finishes. Self. Jesus said that's the first thing I require in discipleship. Lay it down, crucify it. If you can't, you can't be my disciple. Because there is nothing else you can do. When we start asking, ask for giving, you start complaining. Ask for this, you start complaining. Ask for, until I have your life, I don't have anything. God, give us the ability. Give us deliverance of self. The enemy of the saint is the flesh, the world, and the devil. The other two, the world and the devil, are junior enemies. The senior principal enemy is the flesh, self. That's what is baptized, the flesh. It doesn't mean the body. Because you see some people torturing their body. It doesn't mean the body. Actually, the flesh is in the soul. Self is your biggest enemy. It's the one that gives Satan the access he doesn't have. You see? When Satan comes to tempt a believer, he appeals to that self side. Then you yield. There's nothing. He can't force you to do anything. He just appeals to that side. It wears the appetite of self. That's how people fall into. It's the devil that did it. Devil. It's your fallen nature. That's why the Bible said the works of the flesh are manifest. All those evil things that people do, the product of self. Self. To live a Christian life, you have to live the self life. The new creation person. The Christ life. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives within me. That other life. And you know, when you want to make a sacrifice, self will be holding you. Nobody sees what you're going through, but something inside. You went to wake up in the morning to pray, self will say. So, the family is the strength of sin, you see. The strength of sin. Because what happened is that the fallen nature is transferred from parents to children. It's transferred from family to generations and generations after. So, what gives sin universal dominion is the concept of family. If you remove family, the devil will have to go after everybody, one after the other. So, now we are 6.7 billion. He will have to win all the souls. But what family does is that it catches the souls for the enemy in bulk. So, the intense picture of global dominion, They don't think about 6 point something million people. What they will count families there. That is how you collect the world. That's why the Great Commission is to families and to nations, not to individuals. I want to say it again. The Great Commission is to families and to nations, not to individuals. Let me show it to you. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and what? All your household. You are righteous before me in this generation. That is how all the redemptive program is developed. It's never the salvation of one man. It's always the salvation of a family. Among the people that were saved from the flood, there were 8 in number. That is the size of Noah's family. If there were 1,000 in number, all of them would have been saved. But among that 8 people, you have Noah and his wife. You have his son Ham and his wife. You have his son Japheth and his wife. And you have his son Seth and his wife. One of them, called Ham, was wicked, the scripture said. He later gave birth to a set of descendants that were evil in the sight of God. Yet he escaped the flood. Why didn't you destroy him, Lord? You can't touch him. He's a member of Noah's family. Redemptive program is a family program. The blood is shed for families and for nations. Let me show you how it is. Undiscipled men are the biggest problems of the family. Untrained men are the biggest problem of the nation. Because what we are doing now is we are leaving women to go and build nations and build churches and build families. But the foundation is missing. God didn't say anything to Noah. He said, Noah, come down and all your household, all, into the ark. The ark is a symbol of Christ or salvation. But Noah is a symbol of a Christian father or parent. If he fails to enter, all everybody will be outside. Somewhere in their own life, they might have to now make a decision, but they will go through a lot of suffering. And if there is a flood, they will perish in it. Ham, that was wicked, entered. Why? It is said, come into the ark, because I found Ham righteous in his generation. It is said, I found Seth. You have a covenant with me, it covers everybody. Because you are that count how many people that are there, but in God's eye, he saw one thing. You see husband and wife, God sees one person. You see husband, wife, children, God sees one person. Because all these are just the same one thing, just being separated. That's why the anointing on a man is on his wife. The anointing on parents are on the children. You see, like this calling that is on me, is on the kids, whether I like it or not. It's just the truth. Children are supposed to be the continuation of the purpose and the destinies of the parents. For example, now, there is a mandate that I was called, raised up to bear. That mandate has created a destiny. It has created a family and created a destiny for everyone. There's nobody that connects to this thing that will not have that dominion mandate. There is nobody. There is nobody. I and the children the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. David, because you tried to build me a house, I will build you a sure house. Never shall a man fail to sit a lineage, somebody from your lineage, sit on the throne ruling the tribes of Israel. Because the anointing of kings, the clear anointing is a family thing. The priestly anointing is a family thing. Aaron has it and his seed. David has it and his seed. David was called to raise a family of kings. Aaron was called to raise a family of priests. And I am called the family of kings and priests. If your children end up looking for a job, it's because you are a parent. You did not raise them right. Your children can only be governors or presidents or bank owners or bank managers or university presidents. The only other option left for them is to be ministers of the gospel. We can't be looking for future generations to drive the vision of NCF when God has blessed you with children. Father, what will you give me? God, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? That's the cry of Abraham. God replied him and said, he said, this Eliezer born in my house shall be my heir. God said, no, servant will not be your heir. It's your own seed, that which comes out of your own bowel, that will be your heir. And New Testament calls them, he said, they are children, children of the covenant. Your seed is a child of the covenant. It's not like the child of the unbeliever out there. They are beyond the reach of Satan. They are set apart in sanctification for God. That's why God gave you a wife to raise righteous seed. So while we seek to reach the remaining families of the earth, never lose one seed from your own family. Your family must become a stronghold for Christ. Christ is the head of this family. A silent listener to every conversation. There shouldn't even be a doubt in your mind that everybody that comes to your lineage will serve Christ. Joshua said, you may choose who you may serve. Altar call is for other families. But as for me and my house, I've answered the altar call. We will serve the Lord. You don't have an option. You don't have a choice. You can't choose an Amadioha in my house. You can't choose an Olokuni in my house. You can't choose Allah in my house. It's not. I am my house. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Now, when you get order, you beg God for blessing. Because he said, I know Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children, not beg them. That's why you have the period when you have the power to discipline them, to disciple them. He will command his children after him to walk in the ways of the Lord, so that God will establish for Abraham what he has covenanted, what he has promised. To guarantee that the blessing will keep flowing from generation to generation. Do your part as parent. Do your part. And disciple them. Do your part. We'll be coming up and down to church and you are not doing devotions in your house. That's how you solve the problems that you are facing in that marriage. It's the scripture. The vow is that you're going to build your marriage according to the book. When you people don't sit down to open it, to study it together, how will that marriage run according to the book? It will run according to emotion. It will run according to sentiment. It will run according to what your wife watching home video has and the popular opinions in the place where they work. She goes, she meets her friends in the office. He tells her, so you take that kind of nonsense from a man? You don't know how I deal with my own husband. So, they had a discussion with serpent. It comes back. But which one is supposed to have dominion? It's the seed of the righteous. The seed of the righteous shall be mighty upon the earth. When your seed intermingles with the seed of the enemy in school, when your seed intermingles with the seed of the enemy at the workplace, who dominates the other? If your seed is not discipled, then after you start hearing demons. There are some people are initiating Christian children in the church, and they join children's development. One of the children who have done deliverance, don't you understand? In the mouth of babes and suckling, how dense because of the enemy, to avenge the enemy and the avenger. One of them pointed at that and said, come! And you have seen that thing tumble on the floor, and that snake crawl out of the children's church. Welcome! They are not taught who they are in Christ. They are not taught grace. They are not taught the cross. They are not taught redemption. They're not taught anything. We're raising kings and priests. We're raising kings. We are raising kings and priests. That's the only, anything below that is a confused man. He's lost his direction. Christians are born to rule. He should be the one controlling nations, controlling communities, controlling businesses, controlling institutions. Then they are born to minister, to serve. What you're supposed to be establishing in your house is the order that is established in the heavens. There is a heavenly origin of family. It's the father nature of God that gave birth to his spiritual family, the church, and gave birth to the earthly family. The father nature of God. That God is a God of love. God is a relationship God. God is a family person. Your God is a married person. It's not a single man. It's a married man. He has covenant with three entities. They form what is called the Trinity. That covenant is why he established marriage as a representation of covenant relationships. When you cease to exist only for yourself, you sublet selfish and personal whatever to include others, and you bind yourself with a bond to look after, that's what is called marriage. It's not having sex that is marriage. It's just one of the expressions of that love in it. It's a commitment to sacrifice yourself, your life, to help make another person whole, to make another person happy, to make another person fulfilled. It's a calling to a giving life, a life of giving. But there is a receiving in it also. To become a reflection of the Heavenly Father is what your job is as a husband, a father. Become a father. Become that man that is full of love, whose breast, El Shaddai, that you are looking for who to feed. Become like that. Become like that. Your wife is a member of the Trinity. It's not one of your angels. It's a member of the Trinity. You and your wife are one. Just like the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. When your children are fully grown, matured, you make them the third member of the Trinity. As at now, they have to learn obedience through discipline. You don't give children grace for a start. You give them law. God has a pattern by bringing the law before grace, so that the law will be the schoolmaster. If you give children liberty, no control, no care, no discipline, no order, no whatever. You know now, nobody tells me, go to bed this time. You must eat beans. But I eat. Nobody tells me, you have to read. I read. When I was small, if they gave me this kind of liberty I have now, I would have been destroyed. God brought the law before he brought grace. If you put it the other way around, you destroy the individual. The Islamic nations are running the system of the law, control people from outside, everybody conform. The Western nations are running liberty without principles. What they are doing now is, don't flog your children. Don't touch the children. Children have right to call police for parents. Don't tell me what to do. We're a nation of liberty. That you can see the mess. That's not how they were. A nation that had divine order. Somebody was telling me about values. He said in one place, one of their values is respect, mutual respect. It means you don't talk to people anyhow. You have to be talked to anyhow until you become an adult. Until you have learned self-governance. That's when liberty is now handed to you. He said every child must be placed under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the father, not by the child. Because the truth is, once that child has learned that self thing, he becomes obvious. You find that every little thing you tell him to do, he does it far well. You don't need to monitor him anymore. He self-governs. He self-supervises. At that moment, it's time to pull out. Let him. Because you will do what is right, either you are there or not. When you are controlled by the law, you are a baby. But the second stage is the developmental stage. From the time the child gets to a particular stage, they put the child in school. You really learning actually starts maybe by the age of 5, 6. All these other, they will be watching home video and, I mean, you know, it's not home, cartoon, Tom and Jerry and all those kind of things, you know. There's learning all, but that's still, then you move them to this stage where you start writing the laws in their hearts and in their mind. That's what we call education. There are three types of education every human being needs. Moral, spiritual education is number one. Mental, intellectual education is number two. And then technical, vocational education is number three. Because there are things all the families of the earth, of Dominion City, must learn to do. Once you learn it, you now know what to do with the church. Intellectual education is mental development. Moral, spiritual education is spiritual heart development. That's where you have character development. That's where you shape your attitude. Spiritual education is, I've developed my faith, I can pray. You just have 1 out of 7. And then, of course, you get to skill, technical through vocational education. If you raise a family that is equipped like that, but all, first of all, have been bound by covenant, then you have given God a holy nation, an army he can use to affect every nation of the earth. These are 7 things of in shaping your inward man. These are the 7, and we're going to take one and start. And we're going to be assessing how you are doing as we are doing this. If not, you can just develop their mind and create for God Ahabs and Absaloms. And God will have to kill what you have raised. And what you have created is what you are going to give to society. You can raise a David and a Solomon and use moral development to destroy Solomon's vices ahead of time. What you're going to do is to go and turn your family into a church. Every one of you that is married, and if you are dating, you get that lady and stop all this romance talk that you are doing. You're wasting God's time. It won't help you. More marriages break by that useless talk than is established. Get that girl so you can bring purpose, divine purpose, into your discussion. And bring covenant into your talk. And then turn that purpose into motion. But those of you who are singles, you go find a family and attach yourself, enter that place and remove it. And if you're a guy, if you are attached to a son or the father, but with wisdom, the way you are attached to a daughter or to a mother can make you lose the whole family. It's a wise way, and that can become the entrance door to winning that whole house. Then don't look for venue. Turn that place to church. I discovered that if you want to stop the sin of Cain, the first thing to do is to stop the sin of Adam. Because that's what was transferred. So the sins of parents are seeds, but in the children they are harvest. So you see, having dimensions that you didn't know was there before when you were doing it. Like, it might be only Bathsheba go for and sleep with. But then Solomon is going to go for Queen of Sheba and go for all types of, until the number is now 700. Added to the marriage, 1,000. The marriages. So when the flesh is crying for a woman, realize that your son's flesh will cry for women. When your flesh is crying to steal God's money, Achan, those few gold he took will bring armed robbers. That's why a whole family was wiped out by one man stealing. When your flesh is crying for deceit, your pastor, Gehazi, you go and lie, collect donations for church building, corner it at the corner, channel it to your house. The leprosy will not be personal. It's going to be a whole family leprosy. And amazingly, it didn't stop with one generation. It said every descendant, every generation, there will be lepers in it. So to stop the sins of Absalom, who killed the brother Amnon, which was the sin of Cain, you have to stop the sin of David, who killed Uriah. When David killed Uriah, he didn't know he has unleashed murder in his family. So the first man to repent is the father and the mother. Then their repentance purges the loins of the children. That's why in family deliverance is very fast. If I can get the father of the house to do identification and repentance, oh my God, you just rebuke the demon, it takes off. It's a different thing when the children are trying to walk the thing up, back, you know, the other way back. It still works. It still works because the first person to give his life to Christ in the family can take the position of spiritual parents over everybody. And start believing God that out of his own loin will come his natural father, his natural mother. And everybody will have to go through to become spiritual children. He has to open the loins of his spirit and incubate and get pregnant with a burden in prayer and start praying and interceding for this family. And out of that, when you have carried them for 9 months, spiritually speaking, it doesn't have to be 9 months, it could be longer, it could be shorter, but whatever it takes, you have carried them for that number for whom I travel again, then you are going to give birth to that family, a new creation family. I had to do it for my house. And then sometimes you have to travel again because somebody has created till Christ be formed in them. You see? But it would have been easier. Come down into the ark, Noah. Come. You and all your house. That's the pattern. A harlot did it. Put a ribbon, a red ribbon, on the door, on the windows. Scarlet cloth. And save the whole family. Different people have done it. The jailer who looked after Saul, when God intervened and broke up their chains, and the man tried to take his life, Paul said, "Sir, don't touch yourself, we're still here." And he said, "What shall I do to be saved?" He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved, you and thy house." You and thy house. So the repentance of a David is the beginning of restoration of an Absalom. There are certain things that if David was taught how to go through, he would have also cut off that whole sin for running wide in his generation. Because the family has become the strength for the spread of sin, the platform for the spread of sin, but the family also has become the platform for the spread of righteousness. The family has become the platform for the spread of the redemptive program. If you want to disciple Lagos, let's rediscover the family. Let's rediscover the platform for discipleship. Discipleship actually happens in small groups. It doesn't happen in multitude, in services and all of that. It happens in small group. And discipleship happens consistently. It's not once in a program event. No. It's a consistent thing. It's a consistent thing. Over a time, you see giants emerge. That's how consolidation is done. We'll see wrong school. Your children should go to school. Attend school. Don't expect school to mold them. School will contribute. What it means is that you parents should know what they are teaching in that school and have those things and sit down with them to do homework. You should arm yourself with DLI, with consolidation, all the materials, with encounter. For example, church will organize encounter, maybe once in a quarter. What stops you from taking those three people for a retreat and give encounter? Church will organize foundation school. What stops you from sitting down with them every day, running for them? The 2x1, 2 at home and the 2x1, 2 at school combining will make the child. But the truth is, if the child has to do without one, it's better to do without the one in school and get the one at home. It will turn out right. The problem will be if he sits at home and not this education he should get. Then that's when the child is destroyed. When parents realize that there are molds that shape the life of generation, it puts fear on you. It brings reverence, because what it does is that you have to first become what you want the children to be. The success you want to see in them, you have to become it. It's amazing that all the vices of parents show up in the children. If you fail to take care of it, very soon you're going to be looking at that same thing. That's why what we call private sins, hidden sins, things we hid from others, will not be hidden for a long time. Soon now, you're going to see the small junior doing the thing. Water spirits are not private investments. Ancestral spirits, they are not private investment. Occult spirits, they are not private investment. When you finish making that investment, next thing you're going to see the harvest in your children. So, you cleanse the foundation, the first fruit, you get everybody right. That's why he said that the man who does the job, if he's skilled enough, he will get the job. If you know how, you will get the job. But the one who knows why will be his boss. The whole thing is going now to open up your house to start a church there. A church that should be holding every day. Go now and open up your house and start a devotion there. There could be some days where it's morning devotion and some it could be evening devotion. Every family that starts the family church has planted a cell. What they need now is to start reaching out to their neighbors and start bringing them into that place. If you have light here, and this place is dark, and you have torch lights, three of them shining here, doesn't mean the back of the auditorium is enlightened. Darkness will still find pockets to hide until you take some others nearer. And that's how it is with City Impact. You start this thing by law. Then it moves to principles. Then finally it becomes freedom. The early church, there was nobody going around collecting data to check whether the families, they were taught this thing. Just like who has come to your marriage to check whether you fed your children, whether you paid school fees. And we take data and we go to the Child Rights Commission to report to you that you did not feed the children for the last 1 week. You see, so the same way the family culture now has become a societal culture. They taught the body of Christ this thing so well that everybody took it. And that took any city where they have reached that point, they take that city. That is actually what it is. But it always starts by an externally controlled system. That's how God starts everything. The law will be on tables of stone. Sometimes people will not be doing it. You say it, sometimes they will. You find those who will be doing it, find those who will. But then you move to the second stage where you start discipling. It is in the process of discipling that the law can be written in people's heart and in people's mind. The New Testament has two approaches. You go through the five senses to write it on the mind of people and on their heart. Then the Holy Spirit, through revelation, goes through their subconscious, the human spirit, to write it. At the end of the day, the man is changed. Then we're going to have what God had in his mind. A discipled people, which actually means a disciplined people or trained people. To be able to emphasize this and model it, to get all of us here to model it so well that everybody can pick it up. God's children can see it and pick it up. That would just be it. That would just be it. That's what is called order. Law and order means you get a group of people who are either controlled by police, controlled by government, controlled by court to do what is right, or you get those who are controlled by the principles, by their conscience, by disciplined mind to do what is right. When you get this second one, you have a good society. You have a good society, you have a good church. And there is something, a restraining force within that makes you do what is right, whether anybody is watching or not. That is the big task before us. We either produce the American model of liberty without restraint, which is loose grace, grace being abused at its limit. Anytime you see liberty, you're talking about grace. That's what US have taken and stretched it beyond. Or you produce the Islamic order where they have the law enforced to its limit, to its very limit. Maximum enforcement of the law. Everybody is forced to obey. I have looked at the two. There are two extremes. God's plan is liberty that is restrained by values and principles. Liberty, but governed. Liberty without restraint. It's like a car that is in speed without a driver. The other is a car that is being pushed from outside. They are using Sharia to push the car, no driver inside. So every little speed you see it is gaining because of that muzzle outside. Christianity is a car that is driven by a driver. What drives it is inside it. It doesn't need push. It doesn't need police. It doesn't need government. That's what we're talking about. A law-abiding society. A law-abiding church. So when we are children, we need cane. We need parents. We need teachers. We won't do now. Go to sleep. You won't sleep. You will fight. You will collect somebody's thing. They need the law. Galatians chapter 4. Let me show you what I will say. Verse 1. I say that an heir, as long as he's a child, is not different from a slave. Even though he's the master of, or when he grows, he's going to be in charge of everything. But now he's still a child. He's like a slave. Verse 2. But he's under guidance and steward. Some translations say tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Verse 3. Even so we, when we were children. So until you grow up, you are in that state. You are in that state. What state is that? Irresponsibility. Now Jesus Christ has come. He has brought an end to the control, the Moses system of controlling people, of developing society, where in Afghanistan Jesus has brought an end to that. But as long as a group of people, including nations, are at the infancy stage and they don't understand law and order, you need an iron hand at the initial stage.
to help establish a few certain things in place. And that's what it is. And then we were in bondage under the elements of this world. And that's what, why also, for some of us, even demons are being given some upper hand. God allows Satan in certain issues. So you need tutors and governors. He won't pay his tithe. What will you do? Just give him three devourers. One on his finances, one on his health, and one assigned to his car. That apart, the tutors and governors are actually human beings, not demons. But that's the truth. But that extreme case occurs because there are people who will not submit to anything. So normally their own training is direct wilderness exposure. It should be at least 70% human mentors and less wilderness. Some people have 70% wilderness and very little of human contribution in their development. It's a very tough journey. So when we were children, we were in bondage. Let me give you a secret. If you want to build a church, you have to build tables of stone. You have to make laws. You have to make guidelines. But it's people that have been discipled and matured that you can now live with liberty. That teenagers, just leave them. Say, I know, I trust my kids. Leave them. Boys and girls. Let them be playing around. We're going to party. When you have pregnancy in that house, then you realize you learn your lesson. You have to have laws. You have to have order. You have to have where you don't go. You have to have all those things. You have to have the time you return home. You have to have what you don't wear. You have to have schoolmaster to bring order. Then finally, I don't know, have you heard about how they train elephants? Eh? And how they train, they tie them externally first. These elephants are going to use in circus and all that, because you can't tie them there. They tie them externally. This is the training. And each time the thing goes beyond a particular level, the rope pulls in. That's how you train people. That's why God gave the law before grace. That's why Moses came before Jesus. That's why the law is the schoolmaster. After that thing has done its job, the rope now moves to the mind. You can remove it. So it's used to create mental slavery, but it's also used to produce discipleship. It depends on what you're doing. It's how you form bad habits, that's how you form good habits. Verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When you want to make prayer a habit in your house, don't say, children, you have liberty because we have grace in this house. Jesus brought grace and truth. So, wake up whenever you like. Just pray, say, Heavenly Father, today we cover ourselves with the blood and go to school. If it is waking up by 5, it has to be done from outside first. And then as you do it, then you start doing it on the inside. That's how you can free them from the outside. To do it on the inside, you have to teach it and disciple them by it, and then get somebody to model it so that they can see. And you are the one that should actually model it. And then, after they've done it, you can now have some days, you keep quiet, don't wake them up, and watch what will happen. They wake up to have morning devotion. You watch again, they wake up to you have started succeeding. That's why he said, when they grow, they will not depart from it. There might be one or two days when they will just oversleep, but the thing will bring them back to order. At that moment, they don't need police. They don't need their mother policing them. They don't need father policing them. They don't need maid policing them. The principle will be inside them, governing them.
A self-governing person is the one that God gives dominion over society. Is the one that God gives leadership over people. A temperate person, a person that has self-control, self-government, self-rulership, is one that God entrusts with leadership over others. That's the one you call a son. That's the one that is matured. So even if you put a gun on my head, I cannot eat my tithe. I don't need Devora, I don't need Bulala, I don't need a pastor to enforce that one anymore. I don't need someone every Sunday. I know by discipleship the implication of that. I do. But any area where you fail to live consistently by principles, you need external influence. And discipline will keep coming in that area till you learn obedience. And any area where you fail to live consistently by principle, you are still a slave in that area. You are not a free person. You are not a free person. All we have to master is how to change human beings. And we can change society. We can change anything. We can change organizations. We can change the church. Let's master it. Let's make it our obsession. Let's make it our major obsession. How to grow people. How to make people. We learn how to win them, but we should learn how to grow them. And then we have mastered our job. Amen.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.